You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
To stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о дискультам,
субъекте
секса.
Пратором де фебюдне.
To stimulate your thinking.
Welcome to another episode of Intellectual Erection with your host, Patrick. We're here. It's the new year. It's 2019. It's the first day of the new year, and I'm going to give you guys a first episode of the new year. Also, this year, you're going to get some more topical episodes, some sexy stories, some wonderful new people, and we're going to hear some of the people that you've heard before as well, with new stories, new ideas, and we're going to be talking about a whole slew of new things. So without further ado, here is the first episode of 2019. Remember to like, listen, subscribe, write a review, and most of all, enjoy. All right. I am. Welcome back to another episode of Intellectual Erection with your host, Patrick. That's me. And I'm sitting here with a very nice couple from Tirana.
I'm Haley.
I'm Chris.
All right. Well, besides introducing yourselves, you can give a little background, what you do, whatever you want to share.
I work in the cosmetics industry, and I've been doing that for like 16 years. I'm not very new to Toronto. I've only been here for about 2 years. And I moved from out west, where it was really boring. And now I'm happy to be out here.
I've never heard anybody call the out west really boring.
Excuse me?
You haven't been out west.
I was in the prairies.
Oh, that kind of out west. That's not west enough.
No. West, but further west.
Just west of here.
West of here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got
no.
It.
Prairies. Prairies. No.
Okay. I imagine wheat fields.
Yeah. Lots of wheat fields.
Nice.
Lots.
You must have had a lot of wheat.
No.
Wheat thins?
Yes. Crispers were my favorite.
Crispers.
Yes.
Mini wheats.
Mini wheats.
What the fuck are crispers?
A cracker.
Oh, well, no, I like crispers.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's not a chip.
No.
It's not a cracker. It's a crisper. Great. Fantastic. All right. And Chris.
My name's Chris. I'm from the Maritimes. I've been doing construction for about 14, 15 years now, and I got sucked to move in here with Haley, and I've been here for almost a year now.
So see, east meets west. I was gonna say in the center, but we're not.
No,
we're still not. We're east enough.
Yeah,
eastish.
It'll be a year that he's here on December 1st.
Yeah. What?
I know.
It's crazy. Big city.
How do you like the big city?
It's a big change.
Yeah.
Lots more to do here though. Never get really tired of things going on in the city. It's definitely exciting to see new opportunities and have everything in front of you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, is a lot of those changes, right?
A whole buffet of changes for him to indulge in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why don't I start with you, Haley? Let's dig into a little bit of your background. As much as you're comfortable sharing, you're biting your lip. You're like, fuck, I don't know what I'm going to tell you.
I'm like, oh, geez, how far do I go back?
So the first thing I always like to ask is if... if there's a moment in the past that kind of brought you into navigating some of this, what I've begun to call the sex positivity communities, which includes poly, kink, BDSM, and anything else that kind of promotes a good, empowered sense of sex positivity. I've heard on another podcast, the Bedpost podcast by Aaron Pym. She was referencing, I believe, another podcast. So this is like Podcastception, where
the Inception podcast.
Yeah.
Where this is getting deep.
Yeah, where somebody referred to the moment where you're kind of transformed into this like kinky freak as like a radioactive spider bite. So you think back of like all the Marvel and DC comics, right? So there's a moment where you get your superpowers. So yes. Assuming that your superpowers are sex positivity, kink, liberation, whatever it is that makes you feel good about yourself and that happened you into these communities, there's a moment.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a moment. I was, how old? I was 22. And I had been really, really, really sick. So I had just gotten over having leukemia. And I was like 95 pounds. I was bald. And I was very sad because I didn't feel like I was me. I wasn't what I saw inside my head. And to me, what I saw inside my head was like this beautiful woman figure with these nice boobs and a big bum. And I was this like destitute, dying, well, formerly dying human. And to me, it was reclaiming my femininity and my sexuality, because you kind of become to a point where you're that sick that you don't actually have any sense of sexuality. You are a sick person. You are a thing. You are a medical treatment. You are a disease. You are not a female. You're not a woman. You're nothing to be celebrated and lusted after. And that's where I became a dramatic exhibitionist. So my hair started growing back, and I was at a random bar. I met a girl, and I thought she was really beautiful. And she told me, I shoot for something called Suicide Girls. And I was like,
I know what those
are. Okay. Tell me more. Like, what is this? Is this porn? Like, I don't want to do porn. She said, no, it's a celebration of beauty. And it's for alternative girls like yourself. Like, we want to celebrate everybody. And I was starting to get pretty tattooed by that point, and I was in the body modification industry, and so I was a little bit on the off culture side, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more, yeah, nonconformist, a little bit of goth girl happening thing. And I was like, this sounds like something I want to do. And so I was one of the very first Suicide Girls. So my sets I shot in Calgary, Alberta with this girl who turned out to be the photographer that I was shooting with. And it was the first time that I was non-ashamed to be me. I was unusual, and I was very, very fair and covered in tattoos and small, and I had tiny boobs, but it didn't matter because it was like a celebration of me. And I felt very positive for it. The reaction I got was very positive for it. And believe it or not, my parents were actually really positive about it. I wasn't someone that did complete nude. I was implied or partials at all points in time, but I never felt, for a very long time, I can say I didn't feel sexy. Mm-hmm. And after that turning point, I felt very sexy. And it wasn't for the sake that it was the comments or the positivity that came from those types of sets. I felt sexy. I felt empowered to do those things. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, I'm going to take a step out of this box that I've been in forever of being the sick person, because I'd been like that for so long. And I felt abnormal, but in a good way, above normal, mm-hmm. a creation of something that was special. Mm-hmm. And I became very comfortable with my body and my sexuality at that point. It was interesting to see the feedback from my friends and people that knew me because no one ever said anything negative. They were like, oh my God, you shouldn't be doing that. Everyone was so positive about it because they saw a real me coming back.
It was authentic.
Yeah. I was this lively, amazing person before I was sick, and I got sick and died for a couple of years, and they watched me die. And it was like they watched me get reborn into something that was exciting. And they're like, you have such vivacious energy, and you have all these like, you're so incredible to watch, and you have so much going for you, and you can do all these things, and you're so smart, and you're so this, and you're so that. And it was positivity on other levels other than physical. Not just that's a hot picture.
Right.
So I don't know if that was my like turning point, I guess.
So going back to the Marvel metaphors, you were like the phoenix rising from the ashes.
Exactly.
And that's amazing. So what I understood from everything you just said, there was a point where a type of cancer, leukemia, basically crushed your identity.
Yeah.
And you found a way to reclaim it,
mm-hmm.
using your body, mm-hmm. in order to find your femininity, your sexiness,
mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
And beyond that, I think there's something that maybe is missing in the narrative, because I also know you to have worked extensively on bodybuilding.
Yeah.
So you've put a lot of work into your body, aesthetically, physically.
Yeah.
And right now there's this person sitting in front of me with extensive body mods. So there's lots of tattoos, right? There's can I say your split tongue?
Yeah.
You got a split tongue, you got spacers. Mm-hmm. It's that, and I've seen your work, the, what's it called? What are those called? The word's not coming to me. Pinup girls.
Oh yeah.
You had that pinup girl shoot. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know at what point those happened, but
that was when I won Miss Tattoos. That'd have been like 2008, 2009.
I'm a sucker for those kinds of images. Like the pinup girl look is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
So it's
I think it kind of centers around the fact that for a very long time I wasn't in control of my body and what it did. Mm-hmm. And so when I took that claim or reclaimed myself to be a creation of what I wanted, that was very important to me. I will look like I want and I will act like I want and I'll be who I want because I'm in control of those things.
Right.
When one single cell in your body decides to not stop dividing, you can't control that cell. Yeah. I got sick for no reason, like none that I can conceivably think of. You know, I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, I wasn't a drug user, I was a 16-year-old, like a straight-A graduate from high school, right. And I was a straight-laced of the common, and I still got sick. So I was, like, massively offended and very angry about the fact that I was that.
Yeah, you got
and
fucked so, by the genetic yeah, lottery.
I know, exactly. I'm like, there's nothing that I did that, so I want to do what I'm capable of to feel powerful within myself. And so whether it be expanding my mind or growing my body or being an athlete or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. I want to be able to create what I see inside my head.
So you use that adversity and that suffering to literally make you stronger, as mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people like to quote Nietzsche.
Yeah.
Is it true then from your perspective that unfortunate suffering that you didn't ask for, you didn't prepare for, ended up strengthening you? Or were you as strong before it and that same strength just came back?
I think because I was also born with an autoimmune disease, like I've got a pretty serious stomach disease. And so from a really young age, I realized that I would have to try 10 times harder mm-hmm. to just be, quote, normal. But then there became a point where I didn't want to be normal anymore. I can definitely say that fueled the fire. The illness and stuff like that definitely gave me the tenacity to be more, to want to do more and create more and learn more. Mm-hmm. And so that sense of fearlessness that I feel like I have came from that experience. I'm still, you know, a cautious person in life. I'm still a conservative person by some relative mean. But when it came to me, I was never afraid to take chances for myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you were not a stranger to adversity.
No. Everything's always been hard. You know, it's never been an easy thing when you wake up and you're sick for days and days and days at a time and you're 8 years old, you know? It developed a sense of personality, and I think it developed who I am now, absolutely. I would never tell someone, oh, I didn't wish that would happen. That's a crappy thing, but it's not something I'm like, oh, that's, I wish it never was mine. I'm happy that I have those experiences because it gave me a sense of, don't be afraid of everything. You know, try things three times. You might like them.
Three times. People try things three times.
Three times, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's put a pin in that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to Chris. We'll get a little backstory and then maybe we'll marry those stories a little bit.
Well, I come from a place where, like, there's not a whole lot of experimenting, or like the sex community isn't like a big thing, where like the second I moved here, just seeing like how everyone's open with themselves and very sex positive, and there's places you can go that people share the same like interests, or everyone's just accepting of everything that you are willing to want to try type thing. I came from like a very like kind of small place, very, I guess, vanilla, as it's referred to, term I learned when I moved here. So I came from that, and you're just always kind of around the thing where like sex is like, you go to bed with your partner, have sex, and then go to sleep. That's kind of what it is.
Right.
And the whole time you're just thinking like, is this really
all there is?
What it's supposed to be? Like, is this how it's supposed to be? And then you get bored after like a couple of weeks, like, am I a bad person for getting bored of this? Like, not understanding how everything's supposed to work. And it actually wasn't too long ago that I kind of realized like there is more to explore and more to experience, and that there's not necessarily stuff that I want to try personally, but just being in an environment with people that are just kind of doing everything, and like it's just a very friendly, accepting environment to be around. And
so you like the atmosphere.
Exactly. Yeah, right. I love the atmosphere a lot. I love being like, even the party we had last weekend that we went to, like just being around all those people, they're all very friendly and just I've never had a better time being around people like that before. Cause
you sound like you're a vanilla ice cream cone that fell into a bag of sprinkles.
No, it's called called Neapolitan. I got some chocolate and strawberry, just still some vanilla going on.
Mixing flavors.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah.
So you said something earlier that you were a little bit bored, maybe with the regular in and out sex routine back home. So maybe you had I don't know. I'll form it as a question then. Did you have some sort of interest in, you know, going beyond that into trying different things, or at least, because now you've been around it enough to see what options exist.
No, for sure. Well, my biggest like thing that I was always like talked down to about, I was really big into like the like hooking, like that type of stuff, like that type of like kind of pain, like
suspension, BDSM, like tying. Right.
Like so not the kind of hooking that you're thinking of over there.
No.
But hook suspension.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sensation.
So stuff like that. Like if you mention stuff like that to people back home, like, oh, that's disgusting. Like, why would you want to do something like that?
Did you want to be suspended or
suspended?
Oh, you want to be suspended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you like a little bit, I mean, you also got those body mods, you know, tattooed, face tattoos, everything. So I can see that there's probably some pleasure in
there's especially getting tattooed, there is some pleasure behind getting tattooed as well. So
your most recent one was what, the rose somewhere?
I have a rose on the side of my face for Haley.
How was that?
The face is actually the nicest spot to get tattooed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, out of any part I've been tattooed on.
I'll just take your word for that. I'll take your word on
that. What, Patrick? Come on. You want to try some?
It's a nice massaging feeling.
Massaging feeling?
Yeah.
Is there any spot on your body that wasn't pleasant to get tattooed?
Oh, absolutely. I did my neck for 6 hours. Adam's apple on men isn't the greatest time in the world.
Aye, aye, aye. That does not sound fun.
No.
Just drilling on your Adam apple. Did you try to speak while it was happening? Did you have the Vader voice?
The problem is they got to take the back off the chair so your head sits actually like bent over the chair, and you just lay like that until he's done.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah.
Not fun.
No.
Okay. So, Chris, you came from the East. Fairly vanilla experiences. Curiosity.
Yeah.
Met Haley from not too far west, but west enough, who had, you know, overcome certain adversity throughout most of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about that. How did you meet? What was the occasion? And what's been happening
since?
Well,
we first started kind of like liking each other's pictures, like the new kind of millennial way of meeting people is
on Instagram.
So like you like each other's pictures, and then that started like that for a while, and then eventually just turned into stupid like little conversations on Snapchat and Instagram and stuff like that.
It took him like 3 years to talk to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
She looks like she just dates bodybuilders, and I'm pretty far from bodybuilding.
You're a pretty big dude.
Yeah, I still drink beer every day and enjoy food when I want, so.
Hard root beer.
Hard root beer. And I cook whatever food and so eat it. I think we both come from really different places. I come from a world where sex wasn't something that was uncommon. Partners weren't unusual to me. I was in relationships with people that were very open. I had a type of sex work in my background. Like, these are things that were all part of my life that were nowhere near part of his. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually like mildly apprehensive to disclosing my life, but I would never hide anything from him. And so when we started talking and I got the sense of him being somebody who's like a small town guy, I was like, why does this small town guy like me at all? Like, I'm so far beyond anything that would be like small town normal.
Mm-hmm.
How do we match up? How do we like make sense? And when he came to visit me in the summer, and he was so accepting of my lifestyle and what and who I choose to be, with respect to himself, obviously, there are things that I did or did not do that were, you know, something he wasn't comfortable with. And so understanding, respecting for those reasons, I'm like, no, I get that. I just want you to be happy and enjoy your experiences. So I think that we connected on the sense of mutual respect. While I still have super small town values because that's where I grew up, and this person reminds me very heavily of, like, I want to say, like, in a good way, my dad.
Hey, that's a thing.
A daddy thing.
That's a thing.
You know, it's definitely a huge connection point that He is so loving and understanding of who I am and doesn't judge me on any of my past, even though it may not be his. Mm-hmm. I think that's what attracted me most to him.
She was also like the first person that, like, the way she like described herself to me was just kind of like, wow, this is actually something, like, something that I always thought was like the kind of more factor, like there must be more to like this, not just this like middle of the night once a month thing. Like just the way she described everything, and like even she described like the group and how she described like Oasis and stuff like that, I was like, wow, there is actually a place where people come together and are accepting of everything that they do, and
mm-hmm. and it's a safe fun
environment. Exactly.
And it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's not scary, and it's not something that you have to be ashamed of. Like when we would have sex and something would happen, and you could tell by his face that it was something that was new and exciting to him,
mm-hmm.
and he was enjoying it, and he'd stop and be like, is this okay? And what I get off on the most is him having so much fun. So I'm like, of course it's okay. But he's never had anyone tell him that before, like, ever. He was always like told it was weird or bad or wrong, and I didn't have those experiences.
Right.
I was married for a portion of time to someone who's very lovely, but just not my person. He didn't shame me for anything, but he didn't want to partake in anything. He wasn't willing to try anything.
Didn't enable.
Yeah. And so with Chris, desires. Like, it's very much like, okay, well, sure, let's try it. I don't know if I like it because I've never done it.
Like a big part of the reason why before I met her, I was very like held back and like afraid to say anything, like when I used to be bullied as a child type thing, so mm-hmm. a lot of the time I'd be hesitant to say something in fear I'd be picked on or told like, no, you're an idiot, like don't say things like that. So I was never trying to like come out of my own and become kind of basically like a man, essentially, like
you're a totally different person,
myself and like stand up for myself, that type of thing.
From when he got here, he's a totally different person.
So whenever I met her, she just basically let me know that I shouldn't be afraid of anything, like just
so it seems like you were both sort of liberated with each other,
mm-hmm.
in finding one another. Definitely. You coming from a small town, Chris, looking for something a little bit more open, a little bit more accepting, found Haley, who had some experience,
mm-hmm.
and enabled those things lovingly to make you feel comfortable, welcome, and a little bit more liberated. And you found Haley, a partner in Chris, who was loving and accepting of everything that you are and you do, and enabled you to continue being who you are, and sort of allowed your strengths to shine.
Yeah, well, we found this like middle ground in our relationship where it became like a sense of that monogamous kind of thing, where it's very honest. Like, I've been in situations before dating people where I wanted other people, and I wanted them because I wanted them, and it was more so a me kind of mentality. And with Chris, it's not a me mentality, it's an us mentality. So in situations where I want something to happen and I bring something up to him, he'll tell me I'm not comfortable with it, or yes I am, or maybe I might be. It's always maybe I might be. It's not like I don't know yes or no.
Right. I'm on the I'll try anything twice type attitude.
Yeah,
twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Not three times?
You might not like the first time, the second time you'll probably be able to
figure it. And then the third time you're pretty sure.
You're pretty sure.
Maybe you ought to keep trying.
Yeah.
So before I get on to another question that I want to ask, is Haley, you were saying something about some work that you've done in the past, sex work potentially. Do you want to talk about any of that?
Oh yeah, sure. I don't have any problem.
I just wanted to catch up. So to highlight kind of the difference in experience so you were a pinup girl at some point, suicide girl is what they're called, which is a type of model that's typically with a lot of body mods. And after that experience, go up until Chris, that experience, go.
Okay. So after I did my couple years as a suicide girl and was quite popular and did a lot of touring with them and did a lot of work in the States, I was a hostess for several like gigantic rock tours and was very popular. I was a very influential tattoo model before Instagram, before any of that even happened. And so this was things that were in print. These are things that were in magazines. And so when I do conventions and tours, people would show up with magazines for me to sign. And half the time, I had no idea that I was even in them.
It's amazing.
I remember going to Mexico and being on the cover of a tattoo magazine in Mexico called Guanajuanca. And these kids on the beach chased me down on the beach with this magazine And I had no idea that I was even on it. And I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, whatever.
It must be so flattering.
Yeah, it was like bizarre because like those companies own all those magazines, and they're like put through all the magazines like just on rotation, I guess. So then I started getting a lot more calls to do like fetish modeling. I got calls from certain companies that would do shoes or do like they had actual websites because again, this is before Instagram. This is before like Facebook was big. This is like I get contacted out of my tiny like city out west and get flown out to like Seattle or get flown out to New York to shoot these things. And it was really interesting. And it was an environment and a world that I didn't quite know in the sense of sexuality. I knew it as fetish, but I was on the side of fetish that was more like body modification side. When we would do suspensions or tying or ropes or anything like that, it was more so on like a modification level than on like an experience level, not related to sexuality. So I knew things in that world that were so different, and it was weird because I'd come to Toronto all the time for body modification like summits and something called SusCon. Like I was here several times, and that's where I started getting a little bit more into, okay, so I like the sensations, but I like them for a different reason. It's not so much a body modification reason. It's like a sexual experience reason. And so then I started getting a little bit bigger into why I was attracted to that sensation. And then I was like, okay, well then now why am I attracted to certain people? Not men, but people in general. And I didn't really develop the lines between I'm like heterosexual or not. I just like people. And so if I liked a girl, I liked a girl. If I liked a boy, I liked a boy. It didn't matter anymore. And those lines were never like hardly defined ever again. I've always never been in relationships with men, but I've been open to sensations and experiences with everybody. Mm-hmm. So that kind of developed from there. And then I started doing, because at the time you could actually do still webcam modeling, and it was pretty archaic with her little old like Logitech cameras.
Yeah, the little white ones.
But that's how it all started. And so I started doing webcam modeling when I was like, God, probably 23, 24. And started actually creating quite a bit of revenue from that. And at the time I owned a business out west, and it was something I didn't have to worry about any sort of lifestyle coming back at me for any reason because I was my own boss, so it didn't matter. And then I met my ex-husband. And so meeting my ex-husband, great, lovely person. We were married for 7 years. He was not super comfortable with me doing webcam stuff. And so I stopped. And I stopped my Suicide Girl stuff. I was fine. I was content to be like a housewife. But that's until our relationship started to degrade a little bit more. And after about 5 years, it really started to degrade when we became like roommates, basically. And then eventually divorced. After that, again, it was like, all right, so now I'm a 29-year-old divorcee. What do I do with myself and how do I survive? And so getting into webcam again and realizing that I had done all this stuff in the fitness industry and become very successful at that, there was a huge niche for me to become a dom. And so me naturally as a person, I don't portray in a relationship a dominant personality. I'm very intelligent, I'm all those things, but to my partner, I'm a submissive person. Okay. To my husband I was until he wasn't my dominant person, and then I was the dominant person. And so I recognized that I could take that portion of my life and turn it into something very lucrative for myself. And I started doing work as a pro dom. And so, yeah, through webcam, I had certain clients that were very generous with their donations to my life. And they appreciated the fact that I invested so much time into my body, because by that point I had become like a 3-time national champion in fitness related things. And they respected that. And they were people that had very like high ranking positions in life that wanted someone to just tell them what to do. And my bossy nature came out. So, my very bossy nature came out, and they valued the fact that I invested so much time in myself, and they were willing to let me be the release. And from that, I took over portions of their life that they couldn't handle. And I developed an incredibly lucrative pro-dom business.
Nice.
Yeah.
So then your whole experience since kind of initiating yourself in this sort of like industry and the sex positivity communities, mm-hmm. Just blossomed,
mm-hmm.
and you were able to use your body that had formerly been weakened by misfortune.
Yeah.
Fucking cancer.
Yeah.
To your advantage.
And then there became a point where I was extremely muscular and I was very strong, very, very, very strong physically, but I felt like my mind wasn't there anymore. And so it became very difficult for me to be a effective dom for my clients. So I started taking a step back and started taking my body down in size, because I didn't want the only reason that I was a dominant person to be because I was physically able.
Right.
I wanted my mental ability to match my physical ability. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be recognized as being a strong woman, not a strong woman that looks like a man.
Yeah. Not a strong body.
Yeah.
Not a strong look or aesthetic.
Yeah.
But strong throughout.
Yeah. And so meeting Chris was great because I was still pretty jacked up when I met him. Mm-hmm. And he never, ever made reference to that, which I thought was great. He only ever said that I was beautiful. Before that, it was very much like, oh, you're beautiful because.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's kind of an odd compliment, but all right. I would get a lot of guys that were into muscle fetish and that sort of femdom kind of thing because they wanted me to physically be more capable than they were.
Right.
I'm extremely capable, but I don't want to be more capable than my partner. I want us to be partners, equals.
But I also think there's something in what you're saying there about being fetishized.
Mm-hmm.
And
highly.
And when you're fetishized, it's the effect of being pigeonholed into just one aspect of who you are.
Yeah.
And as like an embodied person who has experiences, who has a history, who has a mentality, who has a body, who has desires, hopes, dreams like everybody else, right? For somebody to just fetishize you, to take one aspect of it and try to concentrate everything that you are into that one thing is first of all, it's exhausting.
Because
you can't be that fucking thing all the time for that person. And it can feel a little bit demeaning. It's like, you know, I'm not just this thing. It's in some sense, it's superficial.
Absolutely.
Unless you develop a relationship with somebody where it's like, okay, I do fetishize these things. Is it okay if we engage in that sort of relationship?
Exactly.
And then you engage on that. And that's part of kind of like what, I guess, the doming aspect, right? You're not dom 24/7.
No.
But if it's consensual, I guess you're okay with... with pursuing that for...
Well, and I also think that's why I was not dom in my relationships with my actual sexual partners.
Mm-hmm.
That persona would come out because that was a release for me, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a performance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of taken back to, like, being a model at one point where, you know, someone says, you're basically a clothes hanger. I said, absolutely, and I will always play the part. Mm-hmm. So... there's nothing wrong with being the clothes hanger for the person that wants you to be the clothes hanger. It's a role. It's part of what makes it fun. But is that me 24/7? I can 100% say no. I have lots of different levels. And like with him, I'm cuddly and submissive and cook for him every day and want him to be happy all the time. And he sees those sides of me. And before that, very few people would let me be like that. They would want me 24/7 to be something that is mentally and physically exhausting for me personally.
So what I'm hearing is that you found somebody who allowed you to express your vulnerabilities without consequence.
Absolutely.
Chris, what's your take on this? So you come into the picture. You meet Haley.
Holy shit.
what was your take on meeting somebody so robust with so many experiences and so many things? Was it...
I don't know, the biggest thing for me, like, just whenever she told me everything, she was afraid, and then she, like, nothing really bothers me or like offends me or anything. Like, I'm not bothered by how someone wants to live their life. It's how they want to live, and who am I to say, you know, you shouldn't do that. So whenever we started talking, like, before any like anything sexual happened, before any we touched on any of that, we got to know each other for a few months.
Yeah.
And then I decided to come down here and meet her for the first time, essentially. And then, yeah, it just, I knew her before I knew her physical side.
Right.
And seeing who she was and, like, just how she was as a person, like, how she's family-oriented and just how, like, how she is with life and how she takes everything every day, I just see her as a beautiful person. In that sense, so just her sexual side is just another thing that makes her the person that she is, and I love every bit of it. So,
And for yourself, what kind of interests did you have coming in? Because you made a big change. You came to Toronto.
Yes.
You left something behind in search for something new.
Well, the big change is we actually stopped talking for a month. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Completely stopped talking. It was essentially a breakup, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And she was completely out of my life, and I didn't even think about her for 3-4 weeks. And then she called me up one day, the 1st of October of last year, and said that she wanted me to come and move in with her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So big change.
Yeah, so she said she was sorry that we ended the way we did, but she needed to find herself, and she found out that she needed me in her life, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, it comes down to the whole thing about being a very independent person with your own life and doing things that, you know, really just fulfill you. You know, I was myself for how many years? Almost 5 years. And then all of a sudden I have this, like, attraction to another person. And all of a sudden I have to consider his feelings and the things that aren't okay with him.
Mm-hmm.
And wait, whoa, I can't do that. What am I doing? And it scared the crap out of me. It scared me to death. I was like, hey, wait, am I going to, like, essentially give up what I've been doing for 5 years because it makes me uncomfortable? Yeah.
But you wanted to try it.
Absolutely.
You thought it was worth a chance.
Yeah.
Okay. So you two start this relationship together. And where does it go from here? How is your relationship now? Where does it intersect at all, if it does, with any of the sex positive communities? Like poly, kink, BDSM?
I think that, like, we're definitely not a polyamorous couple. Like, involving emotional relationships with other people isn't something that I'm interested in at all. Sexual relationships are different. Having, you know, a really fun sexual experience with someone that we invite in to us is special. And it happens, and it's great, and I love it, and I know it's pretty new to him, but he seems to really like it. So.
Yes, oh, definitely.
So when we make those decisions to invite someone into our relationship, it's kind of like those unicorn-y kind of girls that mm-hmm. are those girls that just want a positive sexual experience. And so the fact that he's not opposed to it makes me really happy and really comfortable, because I know that that's an extension of my personality that will never go away. That exhibitionism, that kind of queen bee nature. I like that. I have total penis envy. he knows this. And so when we're having those experiences with another female, it's awesome because I get to feel sensations through him that I won't ever really get to have with my actual physical body, because I don't have those parts. But
there's strap-ons for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, there is for sure. It's just fun. I like watching his enjoyment, and I like watching him watch me enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a couple that is into inviting unicorns into our relationship,
mm-hmm.
but I'm very much aware that he doesn't want a sexual relationship with them. Oh, sorry. Emotional relationship with them, it's a sexual relationship, and to me that's not intimidating. I don't associate sex with love,
mm-hmm.
and so to me, when we are in love and we're having our emotional experience, it's separate from anything that's a sexual level.
Okay.
To me, sex is fun, and it should be fun, right?
Right, of course, yeah. Of course.
Sex is very fun.
So you both are comfortable with keeping your emotional relationship monogamous,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, leaving the door open for diverse potential sexual experiences here and there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is interesting to talk about, because I've had a lot of people on the podcast that have been very poly. So it's nice to hear a different take on things. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, do either of you still engage in any kinks, fetish, BDSM?
I think what I mostly want to give to him is my background when it comes to what his fetishes are, when it comes to sensation and kink,
mm-hmm.
When it comes to like hook play or needle play or any of that stuff. It's something that's very new to him, but something I'm very experienced in, mm-hmm. and have had those sensations myself. I've done suspensions, I've done hook pulls, I've done needle play, I've participated in things like that as a facilitator. And so to watch that experience for someone else is mm-hmm. very gratifying for me, and it's a pretty interesting kinky thing to watch that completely helpless nature in someone that you see as a very dominant partner. it's, to me, very beautiful. I think it's amazing. You can actually like feel someone's heartbeat through the strings in a hook.
Nice.
That's something that I am really excited to give to him, and we're gonna do that on his birthday.
I was just about to ask, Chris, have you tried any of this stuff?
No, yet? I've been literally thinking about this since I was like 10 years old when I first saw my first suspension.
What? So hang on. I asked you earlier about, I asked you earlier about the spider bite, the instances. What happened when you were young? You said everything was vanilla.
Chris is very shy.
Yeah, tell me about this 10-year-old.
Well, and that was when I first started like into the whole like, oh, tattoos, like what is this? And then I started diving deeper into the whole suspension thing and thought it was just something that was like done like down in the States, like something that no one ever could possibly think about. And then after then meeting her, and then I met a few other people here that are have done it and do it here, and I was like, wow, this is the perfect time for me to finally experience the one thing that I thought I'd never be able to try.
So you are yet to have your first hook suspended.
March I'll be getting suspended for my birthday. So
have you made formal plans yet, or it's
Through what I know and what one of our friends can do, it's easily attainable.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Said person is yet to be on this podcast.
We were at Oasis doing it together. So facilitating stuff like that to me is very interesting and very gratifying. I love giving those experiences to people. I'm very much that let me fulfill your fantasy kind of person. And I think that's where being a dom and being you know, a Barbie girl and being a submissive and being all those things for people, I like role play. I like to be that object that gives you sensation and pleasure. So to him, I want to gift him his really that experience
first.
Yeah, that big
initiate.
I want this
him
experience
into the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Have you Chris, have you tried anything at this point? I mean, I know you have, so I'm asking in this coy sort of way.
For the sake of asking.
No, but I know you've had new experiences since you've come to Toronto.
Absolutely, yes.
Tell me about those. How were they?
My first kind of big experience was New Year's last year when I met...
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody, yeah. So I went to Oasis for my first time, and that was the first time I've ever seen that type of public show of like
what did
sexuality.
You think?
It just felt natural. Like I felt like I was around people that I was comfortable with, and it was better than any bar I've ever been to. So really, like, not in like just even like the sexual sense, but the sense that there's like everyone there's there because they're happy with each other and they're accepting of each other. Whereas if I go to another bar, there's guys puffing their chests out and there's guys trying to basically like just be douchebags all night long.
Yeah,
but there everyone just feel at home whenever you go there. It's nice. It was a great feeling.
So it's good to see I guess folks that are kind of liberated.
Exactly, or,
definitely. Just accepting, happier on each other.
Yeah.
Well, and it was different for him because that was his first time having a sexual experience in public.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, I've never had anything like
that. Tell me about this sexual experience in public.
So whenever we went there, it was like, all right, well, we decided that let's try having our first sexual experience in public together. And yeah, it felt amazing.
What was it? Exhibitionism?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, like, it took, we're very transparent. So for him, it was honestly like a very like, oh my god, what the fuck is happening kind of sensation.
Exactly.
But I remember the experience. He's laying on top of me and I just said, just keep looking at me.
Yeah.
And
that helps.
He just completely became a different person and it was awesome. And the best part about it for me was the fact I could look around the whole room and everybody was watching. And we've never done like a spectator thing together, but I'm definitely interested in doing that. But it's something for him I don't think he expected to enjoy, but after the fact was like, that was amazing. Like, I like the fact that people were watching us.
Yeah
It wasn't one of the things that I was like, well, I want to try this one day. It was just one of the things where it was in the moment and I was like, I'll absolutely try this and see how I feel about it.
And how did you feel about it after?
It felt really good. And that's another kind of thing with all this, like, there's a lot of things I don't know about, like pretty much next to zero. So whenever there's something that comes up I don't know about, I say yes, I'll absolutely try that, and I'm open to trying.
Well, it's really nice to see this level of open-mindedness, especially since you're coming from, you know, the small town setting. It's not always easy, and it wasn't probably easy for you having to grow up in a place that didn't accommodate your interests.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I left my small town when I was, like, 16, so... Yeah.
Just anything, like, the parties I've been to and stuff that, like, I've seen, like, if that stuff happened back home, it wouldn't be acceptable at all.
Right.
So, right. It's just stuff like that. Like, I've seen stuff that if I explain to people back home, they'd be like, oh, what do you mean?
Yeah. I can say that honestly, too, though, because even being from a city out west, like, this culture isn't there. I had to very much either hide who I was to be approached by somebody that just didn't want to use me on a sexual, like, level. And so that was very different for me coming here, is that people don't really see that. They, in this environment at least, are very accepting and open to everything. And the best part about everything is that they've accepted my partner, who is not an experienced person, and they love it in pieces. Mm-hmm. You know, we go to parties together and all I hear is, oh my God, Chris is so lovely. And that's great. I love hearing that. I love hearing that, you know, girls will tell me how beautiful he is and how much they love, like, they want him. And I'm all for it. I'm like, that's great. I love that. Thank you so much. I know he's great. And you know, if those situations arose and that wanted to happen, that would be fine with me too. But it's things that he's okay with. This isn't a new world for me, and this is a new world for him, and so that's why I love it so much. It's because I'm almost experiencing it through someone, like, through new eyes.
You're vicariously experiencing.
Yeah, because to me, when it happened all very, very quickly. There was no, like, light introduction to something.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I'm going to have a threesome. Oh, I'm going to go out on a date with a girl. Oh, I'm going to go do that. It was never like that. It was like everything all happened all at once, and it was very fast. And so there was no learning curve for me. There was no one that walked me into anything, and so I walked into a lot of very unsafe environments, 100%. And with him, it's like everything's on an even keel, and he knows that there's safety in the fact that his partner enjoys it. Mm-hmm. I never had that. It was like, oh my God, I'm gonna be afraid of something. What am I gonna do? Am I ever gonna tell someone about this? Like, with him, absolutely.
So, but so you got the benefit of being able to show him around and protect him from the dark.
the dark side.
The darkness.
Yes, the bad dark friends.
There's the good darkness, and then there's the bad darkness. So being a fairly monogamish couple in these sorts of environments, is there anything that you feel has been transferable from these communities into your relationship? We talk on this podcast a lot about communication in poly relationships and how that could potentially be transferable to monogamous relationships. Mm-hmm. Has that been a factor at all in your relationship?
Well, the biggest thing for me, kind of accepting everything, was trying to learn the difference between sex and emotion.
Okay.
It was very hard for me to distinguish the two, because back home it's very like, if you're sleeping with someone, then you're emotionally attached to that person, and there's no other way around it. If you slept with that person and you cut them off, or you explained to them this is all I wanted, then it was very bad. There wasn't any like kind of lifestyle like that out there. Like, there wasn't a very sex positive community that people did stuff like that. So learning that part of it was very hard for me, for sure.
Yeah,
big time.
Okay, so there, it seemed like it was a little bit more integrated. I mean, I think some arguments, or some people make the argument that you can't really separate the two. There's still a bit of emotionality involved with sex, but maybe not to the degree of commitment.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So maybe that's the difference here, right? Is like, some people might expect a level of commitment that comes with having had sexual experience with someone.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas you're like, well, no, I had some emotions, of course, during that experience. I had joy, I had pleasure, I had all sorts of sensations, I was happy.
Yeah.
Or maybe I wasn't. I was disappointed, I was whatever it was, plus the physical sensations. So they blend a little bit.
Yeah.
But maybe I don't want to make more commitments beyond this experience.
Yeah.
Either exactly. Because I'm not prepared, or I don't want to.
Well, the way I changed was just seeing, like, everyone that I've met, like the group dynamic of everything. That's how my mind switched over, was that way.
Well, no, you told me on numerous occasions, you said, like, what makes me the most comfortable is the fact that everyone respects us.
Exactly.
You know, when you come from an environment where someone doesn't respect your boundaries and there's a cause or a need to feel intimidation on that, I can see that being a problem. But, and that was a huge problem with me living tiny cities and tiny towns out west. Like, if somebody made an advance at you and you had any sort of joy out of that advance, you were considered a slut in a really negative tone.
Right.
And maybe it comes from, like, dealing with, like, in cosmetics, I do a lot of work for sex workers and strippers and porn stars. And I do a lot of work when I do their makeup and I talk to them on very basic levels. And these women are the most incredible women because they have such a broad spectrum on that separation between what those sensations are of joy and those physical, I feel good things and the emotional commitment, relationship, little left brain side of your body.
Attachment.
I want those things. Everybody needs to come. Everybody needs to come and everyone needs to have orgasms and have fun. Mm-hmm. But does everybody associate that feeling with love? I don't think so. I don't.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And I can see how it could be confusing for some people because those are all very intense experiences, right? You have the experience of an orgasm. You have the experience of the butterflies in your stomach.
Yeah.
And they can be confused. They can be confounded.
Yeah.
Well,
lust and love are very different things.
Yeah. And I can see that. And I don't. I mean, I don't have the answers because trust me, I've made my share of confusions and I am no fucking expert on this, but you know, I try my best to kind of navigate these experiences and just interpersonally question myself when it's happening. You know, is this something that I want more commitment from, or am I attached to this person? Is it all physical attraction? Is there something that this person brings out of me that makes me feel better about myself? There's all those questions, and I think they're fair to ask, and it's a messy business.
Well, I think for, like, you know, you're 28, and so you've been having sex
29.
For... Oh, sorry.
You're not.
Yes, I am. I'm going to be 30.
Whoops. I always forget because I'm old. Age doesn't matter to me. Having sex for however many years that we've been having sex, like, when you really think about all the people that you've had those sensations with and the experiences that you had with somebody and what didn't continue that relationship.
Yeah.
Well, it's that want to have an emotional commitment to them, in my head at least.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So in your relationship then, you guys play once in a while with others.
Yeah.
Maybe you enjoy some kinks on your own, together, some fetishes. You like to dress up. You like to participate. There's maybe some power play that I heard you guys talk about earlier. Dom sub situations, hook play.
Introducing him to even just like the simple things like canes or floggers. Like, I love those things. I love being spanked. I love the sensation of being spanked. It makes me happy. I don't know why. If I'm grumpy, you can, like, make me excited again. I don't know why. But it's something I tie to. But the only person I would ever let do that to me is him. Right? So it's fun when we're out at play. But in our, like, emotional connection in the bedroom, when I'm that little person, he's my big person. Yeah.
Big spoon, little spoon.
But he's not exactly small, so.
No. Well, both of you have these, like, physically dominant appearances.
Presence.
Right? Exactly. So, in that sense, I guess I'll segue to the next chapter of this. I asked you what you kind of took away from these communities that maybe helped your relationship, right? Do you think now... Especially, I want to ask Chris, because you're new to all this. Did you have any misconceptions or any ideas about poly, kink, BDSM, about these worlds that have been clarified or modified by having experienced them firsthand? So you're back home. You're looking at all this wild stuff happening, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? And what are some of the ideas that you had then about it? And have those ideas changed at all? And do you think, also, even if they didn't change for you, maybe the people around you were saying people had some sort of negative ideas about this kind of world.
Yeah, it was just, I guess, like, even I didn't know how, like, it interacted. Like, I didn't know how people got together. I just assumed it was like anything else. Like, there was negativity as there was with anything else. Which, I know in the community there is stuff like that happening, but I know for the most part in this type of community it's weeded out fairly fast. So
Well, you said you were marveled at the level of consent that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's another big thing. Like, the second, like, someone's uncomfortable with something, that's where it stops.
So it ends, yeah.
Being able to see it happen, like, at Oasis, my first night that I was there, like, just seeing how everyone interacted with each other was...
Respectfully?
Kind of the big answer to the questions. That, like, if anyone was in my position coming into it new, that would kind of be how I would describe it to them. Like, just the level of respect that everyone has for each other.
So was there, did you ever feel maybe some kind of level of like threat or weirdness first coming in before you experienced it?
I was nervous for sure. Yeah. Definitely. Even now, like even to this day when I go to parties and stuff, I still have nervous.
And what do you think that's about? What do you think the nervousness comes about from? What do you fear that might happen? And then what does actually happen?
It's just kind of my whole thing where I'm nervous about getting made fun of, essentially. Like, I'm nervous about getting called out or getting called down. Like, just stuff I've dealt with my whole life.
Have you heard all the stories of, like, the crazy bullying that used to happen to him? It's crazy because you look at him now and you wouldn't assume that ever happened to somebody like him.
So it's just stuff like that. Like, just stuff.
Big, tall, muscular, tattooed.
Yeah. Yeah. Big, tall, muscular, tattooed, good looking guy.
Yeah.
So it's just stuff I've held on to my whole life, basically. And then after I get there, it's like, what was I worried about?
There's but breaking those insecurities, I take on my own. Like, mm-hmm. I want him to make him feel secure. Right. I want him to make him feel comfortable in those environments because I think it's a very positive way to be.
So what I'm hearing from both of you is that you find that the sex positivity communities, especially that aspect of positivity for you, at least, means a level of acceptance, welcoming and warmth.
Oh, it's right? Also freed with, so much with, of his sexual nature.
With consent that that enables you to explore and be who you are safely. Without pressure, and
a big misconception about like parties and stuff, like sex parties, for lack of a better term.
That's what they are.
A lot
people
of sex.
Would assume that you have to go there and like and you fuck. Have to have sex. That's what they assume you have to do.
You can but use the fancy me, word. You can say fuck.
Yeah, like me personally, when I go to those parties, it's not really my thing per se to fucking like that type of kind of atmosphere. I guess like more of an intimate atmosphere with lots of people. I'm not really comfortable with.
Yeah,
but just how I like to interact with everyone and just.
But it's good to feel sexy, right?
I feel
sexy in one of those places.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna force you to fuck.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel safe and I feel very secure and I feel very uplifted being in those places.
Well, getting told you're hot all night is a good thing.
Yeah, it's not so bad either.
Chris, you're hot.
I feel much better now.
I was laughing after the last party. He's like, God, if my friends back home could see me now, like. You know, leaving the party, kissing boys and stuff like that would be so incredibly unacceptable in every
taboo.
Level.
Oh, it's
like,
very taboo. Yeah.
Right. Jesus Christ, you'd be shunned forever. Call the town elders, God.
Yeah. Call the town elders.
Yeah. You know, but like that's the environments that we both grew up in. Like I grew up in an extremely like Greek Orthodox Catholic environment in a small town. And that was the idea. You know, I have my brother's homosexual and like he's, and he's married and stuff like that. He had to leave our town to come up as to who he was, and that was very sad to me. But I looked at it in the same respect, so did I.
Right.
I just didn't have that as what I was coming up to.
Exactly. So you had your own difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can see it. I can understand the struggle. I didn't have the same experiences. I didn't have the same adversity, so it's not the same for me. But it's good to hear it from people who have been there, have experienced it, and have something to say about it. I think it's enlightening. And part of the thing that I do with a lot of people who are heavily invested in these communities is ask them what they think the misconceptions are from the outside and what they'd like to change about that, right? Because a lot of people have such negative stereotypes about what happens in these communities, kink, fetish, BDSM, poly, they think whatever. Perverts, cult leaders, degenerate sex and practices,
all
these sorts of things. So seeing it from your perspectives, and especially yours, Chris, being, relatively new to this and coming from that place is nice. It's nice to hear,
I'm just happy that this group and environment and community has not judged me for changing my dynamic within it to be with my partner.
Right.
And I love the fact that they've accepted my partner the way that I do. So it's great to me. I've never had friends do that before.
Yeah, because it's not that we care whether or not you're poly. It's not that we want you to take our dogma and practice it. It's just a matter of understanding the diverse perspectives that people have, accepting it lovingly.
Own your own. Don't judge.
Because love is love. And, you know, you got to let people practice it in the way that's most comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're okay navigating the poly community and not really being poly,
mm-hmm.
and poly folks are okay with you being in these communities and not really being poly, and there's that level of you know, intersection that doesn't bother anybody but rather makes people feel more welcome, I think is a great success.
Yeah,
I don't know how to put
it. It really is.
Turn the tone into funny, but no, it is. It's nice. It's heartwarming.
Well, it's just basically like how you want to have a group of people around you all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just fucking's the other aspect of that group. But everyone's just the community of it.
I wouldn't want everybody to be the same.
No, exactly. Why would you?
That'd be boring.
Yeah.
I want diversity. I want variety. I want people to have different experiences, you know, in that sense. And as long as it's consensual, as long as it's ethical, honestly, let's celebrate.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate each other.
Why not?
Awesome. Thank you both for doing this.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Fuck, anytime. And hope to hear from you again.
Obviously. Oh,
absolutely.
Vous écoutez l'érection intellectuelle en droit où on parlait de sexy pour stimuler votre réflexion.
You are listening to Intellectual Erection, a place where we talk about the naughty to stimulate your thinking.
This one girl, she was all fucked up and got anal in the woods.
Everybody needs to come. Everybody needs to come, and everyone needs to have orgasms.